This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 170 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you very much for being with me. I very much appreciate it. Great show lined up today. Nathan Barry from ConvertKit is in the house to talk all about scratching his own itch and what exactly happened as a result of doing that when it comes to ConvertKit and launching it and self-funding it, bootstrapped all the way. Great, great startup story, and actually an incredibly, incredibly useful service for everyone tuning into this podcast. So we're going to go into that in a little bit more. But before we get into the show, a quick thank you and a big mention to today's sponsor, which is FreshBooks, who work with over 10 million users all around the world. This is why I love this company so much. A truly international business. You can manage all of your invoicing, your expenses. They've got a great app, and they truly do serve an international clientele. They've got over 50 currencies that you can choose from when invoicing and things like that with your customers, and award-winning support via their live chat, email, and phone from 8 to 8 EST every single day. Two, get your free month trial, completely unrestricted access to everything that FreshBooks offers small business owners around the world. You just have to head over to freshbooks.com/youpreneur and enter the word youpreneur in the how did you hear about us section. So on to my chat with Nathan Barry. You know, he was actually on the show many, many moons away. I think it was just over 100 episodes. I think we commented on this chat with each other, where we were talking about how Nathan was actually building a real empire, a real business, you know, online business empire based around ebooks and upsells and cross sells and a lot of stuff that he was doing to make well over six figures and beyond on an annual basis. However, he had problems. He had itches. He had issues that he needed to deal with. And by scratching that itch when it comes to actually working through an email autoresponder series and setting it up and utilizing it properly and looking after customers and marketing to prospects and everything else, he actually developed an extremely important and very useful service in ConvertKit. So what I want you to do is sincerely get a notepad and a pen, listen to this conversation with Nathan. And then I want you to go ahead and check out ConvertKit directly by going to chrisducker.com/ConvertKit. Here's myself and Nathan. Enjoy the chat. So Nathan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, it would be rude not to, considering exactly. It's been over 100 episodes. And you're one of my friends. Like, you know, it's been over 100 episodes since you were on. Episode 58 for you guys tuning in. How have you been, man? I mean, that's why you're back to talk about how you've been, but how is life for you right now? Is everything going well?
It's going very well. It's probably been the craziest year of my life, learning to just to go from being a solo blogger, you know, course creator and all of that to being like the CEO of an actual company. And that's something, yes. I mean, you know, the juxtaposition between those two roles very well. And yes. That's something that, you know, I'm learning now. So it's been a huge year of learning for me.
Well, you know, I always say that's kind of, for me personally, after all the years that I've been in business, particularly as an entrepreneur now, coming up on almost 14 years as an entrepreneur, that's the thing that keeps me going is the learning. Mm-hmm. It's the learning. You know, I average 2 to 3 business books a month. I go to conferences, I hang out with the right people, I get to know them better, I learn from them, I love dinners, we've shared dinners before and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's like, for me, I'm all about the process of learning and the process of growing. And that's really what continues to push me and keeps me excited, you know, and through, you know, or a part of learning, you make mistakes, and I'm okay making mistakes too. I just focus on the fact that I don't want to make the same ones over and over again, obviously. But you have, you know, you hinted at the content of this show right there. You've gone through an incredible transformation and journey. We're not talking Caitlyn Jenner transformation here, but we are talking
more of a business transformation than a personal transformation.
Well, I don't know because business is personal and exactly. Vice versa, and I think, you know, I think that they do go hand in hand to a certain degree. But I mean, in all seriousness, you have gone through a big change, right? Like over the last year, like you say, going from digital product creator, marketer, entrepreneur, now through till, you know, really running and you know, founding and running ConvertKit and building that into a very, very fast growing tech startup that is not only helping obviously thousands of people around the world, but is actually making some very good money for you as the founder of that. And it's been 100% bootstrapped. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So I've invested $55,000 total. And basically it was money from ebook revenue and that kind
of thing. Okay. And at your current growth rate, your current run rate, what will you, I mean, if you're happy sharing, what do you think you're going to be making in 2016? Revenue.
Yeah. So, and I'm totally happy sharing. And actually, I'm so into sharing startup metrics and all the numbers because I feel like numbers give context to the conversation.
Sure.
And so like, if we're talking about a launch and you're like, Nathan, how'd your launch go? I'm like, oh, I did well. You know, you have no idea if like, well, is, you know, a $50,000 launch or $200,000, like there's, you know, the numbers give context. And so if you guys actually go to convertkit.bearmetrics.com, you can see the exact startup dashboard for all the metrics dashboard that I look at every day.
Love it.
So we're at $150,000 in monthly recurring revenue right now. So that puts us just shy of a $2 million run rate.
Nice. But obviously you're continuing to grow every month as well.
Yeah. So we're growing at 23% month over month right now.
I love it. And this is all off of a $55,000 investment.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, at this point, if we were to try to raise money as a traditional startup, which I think we're going to continue to keep this self-funded, you know, we'd be raising money in the $20 million pre-money valuation.
I love area. It. Okay, good. So big money. But that doesn't surprise me all that much because you are solving an incredible problem that a lot of online marketers and entrepreneurs are having. And that is trying to find the balance between a email marketing service that is easy to use, but gives you, you know, the punch of a big heavyweight, say something along the lines of Infusionsoft, for example, right? And we'll get into more in regards to what ConvertKit does, how it does it, et cetera, later on in the chat here. But I want to rewind a little bit and go back to this kind of Caitlyn Jenner moment. It's going to be called that. It's
all right.
My fault. We'll it's it. My fault. I am so sorry. Oh dear. But no, I want to go back. I want to go back to when, you know, the catalyst. There we go. We'll call it that. The catalyst of when you decided to make this jump from a very successful online digital product creator and marketer. And you guys can go back and listen to episode number 58. Of the show for that story and how Nathan did that. I mean, he was killing it, crushing it, making great money with digital product downloads and serving a community in the right way. But how do you, you know, what happened here? Where do you get, like, tell us, how did this happen from that to now deciding that you're going to go ahead and start a software company ultimately?
Yeah. So I feel like relatively late to the online marketing blogging world.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, exactly. but, you know, as I was starting to do this, I was writing books on software design because that's my background. So like how to design great iPhone and web applications. And it's just, you know, making great money. And then I was totally blown away that email was converting better than every other platform combined. Like I always thought, you know, social was the next big thing, and you know, Twitter was going to crush it for sales. And Twitter was excellent at getting email subscribers. And then all the conversions happened on the email list. And I talked to my friends, who I'd gotten to know, who'd been in the game for a long time. And I'm like, guys, email marketing converts amazingly. And they're like, we've known that for a decade, you know? And I'm like, okay, so I'm late to the game, but I'm figuring this out. And I was using MailChimp at the time. And I kept, once I just became obsessed with this topic of email marketing and growing an audience. Sure. And I kept learning all these best practices, content upgrades, using email sequences to pitch your customers or to pitch your subscribers, time to them, tagging all your customers, all these things. And I felt like MailChimp was just blocking me at every turn. Every single best practice was hard to do. Mm. And so I'm going the worst one was I found myself not implementing things that I knew would make me money because it was too much work. And I'm like, seriously, I'm leaving money on the table, everybody else has to be as well. And people were saying, move to Infusionsoft. And everything I'd heard was that it was really complicated. I didn't like the $2,000 setup fee, all of that. So sure. I happened to have a whole background in software design and user experience design. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to build my own email marketing company. And that was 3 years ago. So we launched into that process. So there's kind of two founding moments for ConvertKit. One was getting this going, starting it. We got some initial traction and I was using the tool, loving it. We'd improve upon it every single week. But then things kind of stalled out. I had this problem of, almost the, I don't know exactly how to say it, but another business, the book and course business that was doing amazingly well. Yeah. And I knew how to, make $25,000, $50,000 in a single month, pushing effort there. And then ConvertKit to build up that monthly recurring revenue was so much work to get people to switch.
Mm.
And so it just, ConvertKit kind of turned into the side project. As I was more enticed by the much easier money. And then about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine was like, look, what are you doing? You can't, if you're going to do something big like ConvertKit, it can't be a side project. Like you can't do these two things at the same time. And so he encouraged me to shut it down, which sucked to hear. Or he said, or give ConvertKit the time, money, and attention it deserves and turn it into a real thing.
Right.
And so I did what, everybody seems to do when they hear great advice. And I waited 6 months to act on it. And so once I finally, got it going, ConvertKit had just been totally flat for the previous year and a half. And I decided as an entrepreneur, I have to give this my best shot. And I couldn't shut it down because I felt like I hadn't given it every possible chance of succeeding. And I knew we had a great idea. So then we did three things. The first thing is we picked a really specific market to focus on. So initially we did email marketing for authors. And that was great that it was specific. All of a sudden we started getting all these offers for webinars and people promoting us and all of that. Because all of a sudden there was a little box that people could put ConvertKit in.
Yeah.
And I'd always told people pick a niche, focus on that. But that's the easiest advice to give and the hardest advice to take yourself.
Well, yeah, if you want to grow a business, it totally is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So how did you make this? You obviously pivoted.
Yeah.
I want to know. Keep going.
So we did that. Amazing results as far as getting people to getting attention, finally to care. The downside is authors are not good customers. It turns out the people who self-identify as authors, I was thinking about people like me. And you and Chris Guillebeau and Pat Flynn. And, I'm like, yeah, authors. Turns out the people who self-identify as authors are the ones who are like, okay, I want to self-publish a Kindle book. My dream is to sell that on Amazon for 99 cents. Someday I'll invest in myself. And anyway, basically the gist of it is they would sign up and cancel after 1 month, because they weren't into it. And so, but I was still hung up on the positioning and going to a narrow focus worked. We just picked the wrong focus.
Right.
And so then we pivoted and did email marketing for professional bloggers. And really this was just me trying to figure out what my target market is how they self-identified. And the professional bloggers thing kind of worked. So we had that focus and we combined that with a ton of direct outreach. And so instead of writing a ton of blog posts and waiting for people to come to us, I just wrote emails to all my blogger friends and said, hey, this is what I'm working on. This is how it's worked for us. Would you be open to getting on a Skype call and talking to me about it? And then, you know, we were actually, so this was October 2014. We're at $1,300 a month in revenue at that time. And with that direct outreach, oh, the other thing is I hired a real team instead of.
I was about to say, like, you know, at this point, surely you're not doing everything yourself still.
Right. So that's when I invested the $50,000 because I'd self-funded it, you know, just with revenue all the way up until that point. Mm-hmm. And so I said, like, look, people have to know that I'm taking this seriously. So I invested the $50,000. I hired the best developer I've ever worked with to lead the development on it.
Is that person still with you now?
He is. His name's David Wheeler. He's our director of development. He's absolutely fantastic.
Good.
Couldn't have built it to where it is now without him. And so, yeah, focused on it, the direct sales, hired a real team. And then, you know, I got tons of feedback. The great thing about direct sales is that if someone's rejecting you, you know it. Because they say, like, look, man, I'm just not going to switch to your service. Whereas if you're writing blog posts and people are rejecting you, they're doing it all the time. They're reading your blog posts, they're seeing your pitch, and they're just not engaging in any way. And so you never actually know their feedback until you, like, get on Skype with them and say, hey, will you buy this? Will you give me your hard-earned money for my product? So I just became a huge fan of direct sales. And we gradually, you know, kind of worked our way up. Got to $3,000 a month in revenue and then $5,000 by last June. So we're recording this in end of February 2016. And so in June 2015, we're at $10,000 a month in revenue.
So at this point, let me ask, at this point then, June last year, 10 grand a month, how are you feeling at that moment? Like, you've gone through this kind of, you know, this transformation. You've moved from digital products into software. Ultimately, by, let's not beat around the bush, you solved your own problem, right? Yeah. And I, by the way, that's, we've heard that a lot on this show. Like, a lot of people have come on and say, there was an itch I had, no one else would scratch it for me, so I did it myself. And then I decided to go ahead and brand it out and build it and market it. And now I'm making money from it. So, I mean, like, how are you feeling at this point?
Well, I'm feeling really excited because at this point we're growing 20% month over month. And granted, it's 20% on relatively small numbers, but still I'm like, okay, these are good metrics. I'm also feeling totally broke because at this point I've focused entirely on ConvertKit, ignored the entire book and training business. So that's, like, dropped off to not being very much money at all. We've effectively run out of the $50,000 a month that I invested. And so at that point, actually, a little side note. If you ever hear the phrase, like, you ever hear people talk about, you know, get a loan or get a line of credit when you don't need it, because when you do, no one will give it to you. I lived that personally because – coming off of, like, all the books and courses, I would have quite a bit in my bank account and I'd go into my bank, which was Wells Fargo, and they would always offer me, like, hey, you need this $100,000 line of credit. And I'd be like, look, I don't have any employees. I have this business that's almost pure profit. Like, what am I ever going to do with a $100,000 line of credit? And I always said no to it. Well, a year and a half, 2 years later, after
now you need the cash.
Everything on ConvertKit, I was like, you guys know that line of credit you were always offering me? Can I have that? And they're like, yeah, let's just pull it up. You know, now that you no longer have $100,000 in cash sitting in your bank account, like, we're not so eager to give you a line of credit. So it was like this mixed time because I actually ended up having to lay off one of my employees because we just couldn't get enough cash in the door.
Yes.
We were absolutely on the right trajectory, but we ran out of the cash that I invested.
Well, this is where cash flow comes into play.
Oh,
you know
so
what I mean?
Important.
Like a lot of people think that just because you're making a little bit of money and you have a little money in the bank that everything is okay, but it's not the case. There are ins and outs in every business setup. You know, money coming in, money going out. It is what it is. And you must have a runway. You must have some kind of savings, if that's what you want to call it in the simple term, where if your business really does get onto harsh times, you as the business owner is not going to be having anything to worry about yourself. Like, I'm a big believer of paying yourself first. Mm-hmm. You know, I call it the primary profit mentality or mindset. And we talk about it a lot inside of Youpreneur and inside the community and how, you know, because we get a lot of coaches and speakers and authors, bloggers, podcasters, experts, people like that, that make up, you know, they are the Youpreneur members, that particular avatar. And, you know, a lot of people will think that it's okay to just keep pumping the cash back into the business. You shouldn't do that all the time. You know, you have to pay yourself first. And sometimes it's tough, you know, cash flow. It can kill you. It can be a monster sometimes.
Yeah, and it definitely was for us. The good thing is that I saw us on this trajectory. And then,
right.
I mean, things like June was good, but then July is when I started to see like, okay, this is going to be massive. Because in July was when our two biggest accounts, and they're still our biggest accounts to this day. And actually, they both signed up on the same day. And that was a blog called wellnessmama.com, which is massively popular. And then also another little blog, maybe you've heard of it, a guy named Pat Flynn. He also signed up.
He's a troublemaker, that guy.
He is a troublemaker. So the two of them signed up on the same day. So we got this great revenue jump from, these two big blogs signing up on the same day. And we were doing great. But then I knew that, okay, once these two start promoting us, like things are going to be massive. Now, it was like, we'll see how this goes. And then, you know, we'll see if we're going to promote you, if it's a great fit and everything. But we just kind of started hitting that like consistent growth. And after a while, you know, we're growing a consistent $5,000 a month. And this is all recurring revenue, which is amazing. And so basically we start over at the beginning of each month. And we're going to make at least what we made last month, plus all the new growth that we can do.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about, you know, recurring revenue. I mean, you know, let's not kind of sugarcoat it, though. I mean, there is such a thing as churn,
right?
Where you're losing people on a regular basis, as well as obviously, you know, getting new people in. But as long as you can keep that number to a minimum and continue to market and build and brand and push it out there, that ultimately, you know, you should be just fine. But yeah, I mean, you can't have a negative churn rate. You won't be in business for very long like that. But that's one of the reasons why I believe that, you know, that recurring revenue focus is so attractive. People call it the holy grail and all the rest of it. It's not easy, though, because you do. I mean, how do you? Because obviously with Youpreneur, that's a recurring revenue. I look at it as a service, not necessarily as a membership, right? You're running basically a similar sort of type of setup where you're building people on a monthly basis. How do you feel month? Do you feel like you're almost being judged month to month to month in terms of the service that you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if I was providing it entirely on my own, I think that would be really hard. And
yeah.
So that's why, you know, at this kind of scale, building up a team is what's so important. Where I just say, you know, a lot of my job now is just checking in and saying, hey, is there anything that you need in order to run sales or to run development or to run support?
Yeah.
I absolutely couldn't carry that burden on my own.
And it would be tough for you, I mean, to just do that plus focus on the bigger picture stuff anyway, right? In terms of marketing, outreach, growth, strategy, and everything that goes along with that as well. I mean, you know, I believe that to really grow a business, you need to remove yourself from it as the founder of that business. You know my story. I found that out the hard way, right? When I burned out many years ago. But the fact is that, you know, if I hadn't have made the changes that I did, I wouldn't be sitting, you know, on a business now that is a multi seven figure annual revenue business with almost 500 employees. I mean, when I say those numbers, that's crazy.
Yep.
Because 6 years ago when I hit burnout, we weren't anywhere close to those numbers at all. and it feels good. But the fact is that I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't have removed myself and started delegating like a madman, you know?
Yep. And that's all the stuff that I'm learning now, because
sure,
I've finally reached the point where I can't be involved in every little thing. And so it's finding that balance. 'Cause like, I want to be really involved with the team and all of that, but I'm learning that more it's just supporting them and making sure they have what they need and making sure they talk to each other, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Completely agree. So, all right. So thank you for sharing the journey. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure the listeners get a kick out of hearing, you know, these entrepreneurial stories when we have them on the show as well. I want to deep dive now for the next 10 minutes or so before we wrap up on ConvertKit. I am a customer of ConvertKit. Full disclaimer here. I do handle the majority of my email marketing via Infusionsoft. However, the reason why it's in there is because I have somebody completely manage it for me. There's absolutely no way in the world that I could do that myself. Like, I call it Confusionsoft. Like, I can't, I don't even, I'm serious. I never sign into my dashboard ever. I get a weekly report with all my new opt-in numbers, conversion numbers, et cetera, and I love that. I don't have to sign in, and I absolutely love it. So, you know, with all that to one side, I do use ConvertKit for other things, you know, particularly attached to things like landing pages and live events and stuff like that. But ultimately, I couldn't do it on my own. And I think that's a gap that ConvertKit is filling as well here, because I know for a fact a lot of people have jumped on the Infusionsoft bandwagon, or, you know, whatever, you know, Entreport and, you know, these other big solutions for email marketing, and they're overwhelmed beyond belief. Like, they just don't know how to start. There's too many bells and whistles. It's too confusing. It's too too time consuming, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, the perfect way to describe ConvertKit as a user and as a fan of it myself is that, number one, it packs a good punch. You know what I mean? Like, yep, it's a really solid punch in terms of features and benefits and all the rest of it. But number two, it's actually really, really easy, intuitive, a beautiful user interface for people to be able to learn how to use and get around and actually set things up. Whereas Infusionsoft is not intuitive. It's not nice to use in any way, shape, or form. So let's talk about, you know, bearing in mind the Upreneur FM listeners, Nathan, are, you know, what they're doing is they're building a business based around their personal brand. Okay. So think bloggers, mm-hmm, think podcasters, experts, consultants, coaches, speakers, authors, those kind of people. What can they use ConvertKit for day to day? How is it going to help them build their business?
Yeah. So, like you said, the way we like to think about ConvertKit is the power of Infusionsoft, but with the ease of use of MailChimp. And so, fitting right into that middle area. So, some big things are, if you want to have some intelligent segmenting around your subscribers. Like, if you're in AOEber or MailChimp, if you ever wish that you could just tag everyone who's purchased this product or who's interested in buying this product, maybe they've clicked through to the landing page and you want to know. Because like, a great thing to do if you're doing a product launch, for example, is at the end of that launch to send everyone an email, and like a last chance email, you know, as the launch is closing, and send that just to the people who have clicked through to the sales page but have not yet purchased.
Hmm.
So that kind of segmenting is really powerful. And like you said, it's really easy to set up in ConvertKit.
So easy. Like, so easy. I can't stress that enough. Like, trying to do this stuff in Infusionsoft gave me a freaking nosebleed. Like, I can't even imagine. Thank God for Greg Hickman.
Yes.
Literally. Greg Hickman, you've heard him on the show, guys. He's our Infusionsoft guy over at Systemly. He's incredible, and he's a stud. And he also now works with ConvertKit.
He does,
as well,
yes,
funnily enough. But I mean, if it wasn't for Greg, I don't know what the hell I would do. I just, oh my God. Give me a sheet of glass. I would slam my face through it. That's how painful it really is. But no, it is. ConvertKit is, it really it opened things up for me. It enabled me to be able to see what's really possible without having to go through a massive learning curve.
Yeah, that's good. The next thing that I'd point out to people is there's this amazing idea that's been around for a while called content upgrades. And like to give you an idea, we have this customer who has been doing amazingly well. They've been averaging about, we thought they're doing fantastic. They were averaging about 300 to 400 new opt-ins every day. It's a pretty popular site. And we were blown away at their level of success. And what they did is they used the opt-in forms in ConvertKit. And they went back through their top 15 most popular blog posts.
Love this.
And they made a specific content upgrade for all 15 of them, which, let's be honest, it was a decent amount of work.
Oh, yes, it certainly is.
But they doubled their number of subscribers per day through doing that. They went from 300 to 400 to between 600 and 800 subscribers every single day. And months later, this is still true. It wasn't just like
a little fluke. Okay, so let me ask this question, because this is where the geek in me sort of starts to get excited about these kind of numbers. What type of form did they use on those posts? Was it a pop-up? Was it embedded in the post itself? Was it a link that they clicked and something popped up? Or what was it exactly?
Yeah, so the crazy thing is here, they could do a lot better as far as conversion rates, because they had a embedded form at the end of the post. And then the other thing they did is a little ways down in the post, you know, about 2 to 4 paragraphs in, they would add that form as well. And it wasn't like I signed up for my newsletter. It was like, get the complete guide to this topic.
Yes, yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. So, okay. A certain amount of work involved. Let's not pull the wool over people's eyes here, right? But obviously, if you want to get, you've got to get going, right? Yeah. And for me, you know, we spent almost the entire month of January this year rewriting and rebuilding the entire funnel for chrisducker.com because it was so old, so out of date. I was so unhappy with it. We're talking about a month of work of writing emails and testing and putting, you know, opt-ins together and all the rest of it. It was a lot of work. But that being said, we're now sitting on, I don't know, I think we're averaging around 170 or so people a day, I think, opting in at chrisducker.com. Yeah. Whereas before we would average probably, I mean, it hasn't changed all that much. I think we were averaging sort of around 140, 150 going into this year. But what I'm happy about is that we're serving people better because everything is fully up to date. It's fully plugged in and everything's working perfectly.
Yeah. And so as you're doing that work and a bunch of people, you know about content upgrades, you know, you've implemented them before, but what I see when so many people implement them is they inside of like AWeber or MailChimp, they end up with duplicate lists.
Yes.
And so they're like, oh, we've got a list of the people who opted into this and a list of people who opted into that.
Right, right.
And then we talk to these people and they're moving over to ConvertKit and I ask, oh, how many subscribers do you have? And they say, AWeber says I have 25,000 subscribers. And I'm like, great. And then I see that they have 8 lists, each with a bunch of subscribers. And when we get down to it, they actually only have like 14,000 subscribers. AWeber is just double charging and double counting everybody.
That's one of the things for me, I was an AWeber user, and that was for me, that was the biggest con right there. It was the fact that they were charging me, you know, for
the same person,
the same person 2, maybe 3, 4 times, depending on the amount of lists that I had. And with ConvertKit, let's make it really clear. It's based, the subscription, the tagging and everything is based on an email address. So they can sign up in a number of different ways to a number of different quote-unquote lists or to get a number of different opt-ins, but there's only ever one record per customer, right?
Yep, exactly. So like for my personal blog, I talk about both design and marketing, you know, because those are my two favorite topics. And so I'll have people who will opt into like a course on how to use Photoshop. And someone else is like, ooh, but I also want to learn about like product launches. So if someone opts into both of those, they're still just one person. I have segments to keep it all straight so I know what you're interested in. But it's just one profile that keeps getting more info added. So then they buy a course. Well, they're not on a third list now. Instead, it's just now I have listed under there that they're tagged as having purchased this course. And so these profiles just keep getting more and more robust as people interact with more of your content and collect more tags. And there's some other sweet things.
Obviously, you have funnels built out as well.
Right.
So if they do this, it'll trigger this particular part of your email funnel. If they do, if they don't click on that, maybe they'll get another email a week later or a reminder. All these order, kind of autoresponder stuff that's set up as well.
Yep, absolutely. And so there's some smart stuff that you can work into that too. Like one thing that Pat Flynn does is he asks a question in his autoresponder series about basically your interest level in podcasting. You're like, yeah, I have a podcast. No, but I want to start one. And then like, you know, no, I'm just not interested in podcasting. And then depending on which of those links you click, then he'll send you customized content, either pitching his smart podcast player or not. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of stuff is really easy to set up. And you basically just get to keep collecting more and more info and having much more intelligent targeting over time.
Yeah. This is the ninja stuff, right? That everyone is going goo-goo over when it comes to Infusionsoft and these big boys out there. But this is something that Aweber can't do. It's something that MailChimp can't do. And a lot of others out there. Good God. You know what the first, it just hit me. You know what the first ever email provider was that I signed up for? It was Constant Contact.
They basically built the industry.
Yeah.
And wow, random thing, they sold last fall for $1 billion.
Are you serious? $1 billion? To who? Who bought them?
So their company called...
I know it wasn't ConvertKit.
It was not. I no longer have a spare $1 billion around because I bought Constant Contact. They say there were better uses of the money, but you know, I just wanted that brand. there's a company called Endurance International Group. Okay. And if that sounds familiar, it's because that's the company that owns Bluehost.
Aha.
And they bought Constant Contact for, I think, $1.1 billion.
Crazy. That's insane.
Constant Contact was a public company. They took it private.
We digress. There you go. A little side note for you guys. But no, I mean, for me, though, this was the ninja stuff that everyone was going goo-goo over. And it wasn't available with the other providers. And then, like I said, and this is just, it just goes back to what I always say, just solve a bloody problem, whether you're doing it for yourself, whether you're doing it for someone else or a group of somebody else's, just solve a problem. And there's your business model. And here it is with ConvertKit. What else? Keep going. What else you got?
Oh man. So one of my other favorite ones is if you,
I'm really putting you on the spot here.
No, this is good. And this is my favorite topic. I've basically built my entire love for building audiences and blogging on online marketing into a product. And so I
love it.
It's great. But let's say you come to my blog and you opt in, you know, to my email list. And then, what happens when you come back the next time? And this happens on everybody's blog. You opt in. And then you come back and you read a post and it's like, and it's saying like, hey, opt in my email list. Well, I already did that. Why do you have a call to action for an action that I've already taken?
Right.
And so one thing that we have built into ConvertKit is you, if someone has already opted in, they're coming back. Instead of showing the opt-in form, you can either hide it so they don't see that again and, you know, they have a cleaner reading experience.
Nice.
Or you can show them custom content. So if you opt into my newsletter and then come back and visit again, you're not getting a pitch to opt into my newsletter again. You're getting a pitch to buy one of my books.
Mm.
And so we're reusing that real estate. And it's built right into ConvertKit. So it's super easy to set up. And basically, it's this advanced feature that I only know of. And this is crazy to me because it makes so much money. I only know of about 5 or 6 bloggers that have this set up outside of ConvertKit. And it's all because they've hired developers and paid them $500 to $1,000 or more to custom code this. And this is just something that we built into the platform once because I know it converts ridiculously well. And then every ConvertKit customer gets it. So one of the things that I kind of obsess about is that ConvertKit's pricing is on a sliding scale. So
I love this. I love this because the fact that, you know, whenever anybody comes to you, they're going to be at different stages of the game, aren't they? Right. And the fact that it really is like, it's a slider. You can move the thing. We'll give you a link in a minute, guys. You can move this thing left to right and get exactly where you're going to be and how much it's going to cost. And I really, that right there, that intuitiveness right there from a pricing perspective is something. Usually you see these great big sort of lists of everything that you get with package one, package two. But this was, it's really nice. It's sweet looking.
Yeah. So My favorite part about it is that if you're just starting out and you've got a couple hundred subscribers, you're going to pay us $29 a month, but you get the exact same features that you know, for $29 a month that Pat Flynn gets for his entire list. Like, right. We don't say, oh, because you're small, you don't get access to these automations or any of that. We want you to have the exact same tools that the best bloggers have.
Yes.
And so you just get it at your appropriate price, even though you have 100 subscribers instead of, you know, 200,000 subscribers.
Love it. Awesome. Dude, we could keep going here forever. but I love this stuff. And I'm conscious of your time as well, particularly as it's evening over in the US. I mean, let me ask you this as we wrap up here. At what point do you believe that people that are getting active online, and again, think of our demographic here at Upreneur FM, those coaches, those consultants, those bloggers, etc. At what point should they get really, and this is a lowball question, I think a lot of people are going to be tuning in here, but who are going to know it, but serious, but it's important to point this out. At what point do you think people should get really, really serious about creating and building their email lists and funnels properly?
Yeah. I mean, everyone I've talked to says they wish that they built their email list sooner, that they started sooner.
Me included.
Yeah. You, Pat Flynn, pretty much everyone is like, yeah, so this email thing, I didn't know it was so amazing until I experienced it firsthand. And then like, that's all I could talk about, you know? And so start it really early. Even if, you know, you have zero, then start your email list with some direct outreach. Like text or call, you know, like, or email like 20 of your friends who are interested in the type of business, the type of training that you're offering, and say, hey, and this is what I did. I said, hey, I'm starting an email, or I'm starting a website where I'm talking about how to design better iPhone apps. Do you want to learn more about that? And that's how I got my first 20 subscribers. So even if you have no blog or any of that, I would start with email, get those people on there, and then at least you're writing to someone and you get that going with direct outreach.
Love that.
And then when you write that first blog post, you email it out to them and you say, hey, will you guys do me a huge favor and share this? And then you get this dedicated group of fans. There's just something magical about email where you can build a relationship that's way more personal than like anywhere else.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but I mean, it's still the number one thing that everybody checks on a daily basis. Like, yes, we like our Snapchat and our Twitter and, you know, our Facebook and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, for direct communication at this point anyway, and I can't see this changing anytime soon, email is still pretty much everybody's go-to way of communicating, particularly important, like really important things, important decisions, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, there's always the argument that could be placed in regards to, well, you know, I use Facebook Messenger or I use Snapchat or, right, you know, whatever, or iMessage or whatever. But, you know, that's day-to-day chit-chat stuff in my mind. I'm talking about real serious business conversations and, you know, that sort of type of thing. And I think people still, you know, focus on email. I mean, it's still, you know, one of the first things that we do every day. I mean, I always say I get my creative work done first, but by around 10 o'clock in the morning when I'm done with my creative work, that's the first thing I do is I go into email. And, you know, after that, it's Slack. And then it's a little bit of social media. And then I get back to real work again, you know? So I think it's something to be said. And it's funny, you know, we can joke about it, but This shit is serious. Like, people are not putting the focus on building their email lists, even now in 2016, as much as they really should, I believe. And I know that for a fact because I speak with people every single day that are saying, yeah, I got to take it more seriously. Then start bloody doing it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. And I wish I'd started taking it way more seriously way, way earlier as well, as I'm sure you probably do as well yourself, yeah. Right?
Totally. I spent a lot of time messing around before I figured out that email was the way to go. And that's where I built my audience. And that's when sales started happening.
Mm. Mm. And not only that, but I mean, all you need to do is hop on the email list of, you know, people like Pat or, you know, other successful online entrepreneurs, you know, guys like Michael Hyatt, for example, who's been on the show just recently as well to talk about his new book, Living Forward, great book. And, you know, guys like even Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, you can't get anybody that's more loud and more focused on social than Gary, in my mind, not in the entrepreneurial world anyway, yet he still uses email when it's important, when he wants you to buy his new book, when he wants you to follow him on Snapchat, he'll still tell you via email. So there's something to be said for that.
Yep, absolutely.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this chat, man. It was a real pleasure to sit down and talk about the journey and the transformation. We're not going to say Caitlyn Jenner again. Whoops, I just said it. But no, seriously, it was great to have you back on the show. It's been so long. And even though we talk regularly, I think this call, you know, has been well overdue for a while. So it's great to have you back on. It really has, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. This is always a ton of fun.
It sure is. Now, you guys, if you're serious about, you know, really getting focused in on your email list building and nurturing and marketing, I sincerely suggest ConvertKit is my go-to startup focus when it comes to email marketing, okay? So I sincerely suggest you head over to chrisducker.com/ConvertKit. Go and check it out. That's my affiliate link. Yes, I'll get a little bit of beer money and I will thank you for it. But very seriously, get over there. And not only that, but you'll be tagged as a Chris Ducker customer, which means you'll instantly be liked just that little bit more.
Oh, yes.
Am I right, Nathan?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. ChrisDucker.com/ConvertKit to go check out Nathan's fantastic and very fast growing company. Show notes for this, along with that link and everything else that we've discussed, over at ChrisDucker.com/episode170. Nathan, you're a rock star. Thanks again, man.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right. You guys tuning in. I'll be back at you again another week from now with another fantastic episode of Youpreneur FM. Should I say so myself? Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, and go out and do something fantastic. See you soon. And don't forget to head over and check out today's sponsor, FreshBooks. Get that free 30-day trial. You don't even need to input your credit card for that, by the way. All you got to do is head over to freshbooks.com/youpreneur and enter the word youpreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. I'll be back at you again next week. Until then, take good care.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of
today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.